Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this evening. It's great to have the opportunity to bring forth the Word of God to you tonight. Ladies, I'll tell you what, that special was just as beautiful in Spanish or more beautiful than it was in English, even though I didn't understand it. I just think that it's such a beautiful, elegant language, and I love the way it flows. And thank you, everyone, for the specials this evening. Join me, please, by standing in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 7 through 14, and then I'll pray and let you be seated. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, unto the church at Philippi, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we've all heard several sermons brought from this passage of Scripture, but I guarantee you, you'll never have heard this sermon before, because I want to focus tonight on this phrase, forgetting those things which are behind. The title of the message is, It's Not So Easy to Forget. It's not so easy to forget. I want to ask you tonight to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit of God, because I believe he has something to say to every one of us tonight, if we will listen to his voice, that will help us to recognize the reason why we can't go forward the way we should is because there are some things of the past that we're not willing or we're not ready to forget. And it's those things that are hindering us from going forward. Now, Paul is not saying, I want you to forget everything. Tomorrow, don't forget those who died to pay freedom's price for us. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. There's a lot of things we want to remember. The only problem is there are many things we should forget that we choose to hold on to. So tonight, may the Holy Spirit of God enlighten us and help us in this area of forgetting. Heavenly Father, now I ask and pray that you would fill me with thy Spirit. As I am but human, I am flesh, I am weak at best. And God, there are many things in my life that I know that I have done that I need to let go of and move forward for thee. Father, I pray now that your Holy Spirit would cleanse me and make me a vessel fit for your use, and that you would bless your word upon the hearts of those that hear it. I pray and ask, O Father, that you would minister to your sheep through your voice found in the Holy Word of God. And that, Lord, we would all be receptive to your voice, and that we would do exactly what you lead us to do tonight in relationship to your Word. They've come to hear from you and not me. So I ask that you would hide me behind the cross and cleanse me now and make me a vessel fit for your use, that you might be glorified and honored in all things. Help me, I pray, Father, and glorify yourself, and may you be pleased tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The human mind is one of the most intriguing and complex organs in the human body. While man has invented the computer to simplify life, it can by no means compete with the human mind. When you ask someone to forget something that has happened in their life, you have just engaged their brain to remember the exact thing you asked them to forget. Now, if I were to ask you to forget what will happen tomorrow, Your brain has not yet lived it, and you are incapable of remembering the future. However, the recorded events of yesterday and yesteryears are intricately filed for remembrance. According to biologists, the human brain has approximately 90 billion nerve cells, which are linked together by quite literally trillions of connections called synapses. Taken together, this system of elaborate connections within the brain provides hundreds of trillions of different pathways that brain signals are able to travel through. In an effort to mimic this digitally, scientists a few years ago needed more than 82,000 processors running on one of the world's fastest supercomputers to mimic just 1 second of normal human brain activity. For my brethren, it all starts in the mind. What we think about can live on in reality in our souls long after the painful events have passed. Guilt, sadness, condemnation, a flood of emotions from the past can plague you in the present. Be careful. I warn you and I caution you tonight. Be careful of the decisions that you make in the present, for they will soon become a past memory, whether you like it or not. You must make a decision about what you're going to think upon. Dwelling on an unpleasant event of the past, no matter how recent or far away it is, cannot lead towards a healing. Dwelling on an unpleasant past isn't not the path to forgiveness. Dwelling on an unpleasant past can't help you get to the next place in your Christian life that God wants to take you to. Dwelling on an unpleasant past can only keep you tied to the past, which hinders you from moving forward for the glory of God. It will not be easy. The past may even come back to haunt you at the least expected moment. But the battle really lies in the mind. If I am unable to forget that which I have forgiven, the problem is in my mind and not with you. We seem to think that, oh well, I've even heard people say this, you have not forgiven if you cannot forget. Well, that's easy preaching. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There are some things that have been done to me, and some things that I have done to others, and some things that I have heard about being done, that when you contemplate those things, it's easy to understand how someone could say, yes, I forgive you. However, the event is lodged up here, and it's hard for me to forget. The battle is for the mind. If you and I choose to harbor, forgive me tonight for drinking water. I'm diabetic, and when my blood sugar's high, my mouth will dry out so dry I won't be able to talk. If I choose to harbor events of the past in my mind so that I might use it like ammunition to use in a future conflict, then I am not spiritual. I am carnal. I have counseled couples before, and in the process of counseling them, a husband or a wife will push a button in their partner and they will say something. And immediately their partner will say, yeah, and I remember the time you know what it was like? They just, psh. And the husband over there was like, yeah, And I remember the time you... And then she's over here on the other side. Oh, don't think I'll ever forget. And I said, time out, please. Please. All the two of you are doing is just bringing up the past to use as ammunition against each other to hurt each other in the present. Let it die and move on. We all have skeletons in our closet. Is there anyone here that doesn't tonight? Because I'll step down and you can come preach. All right? By the way, we also all have dirty laundry, and nobody wants it hung out for everybody to see. When I was talking to my daughters about this message, they said, Dad, please don't talk about dirty laundry. It's just disgusting thinking about dirty laundry being hung out for everyone to see. Sorry, dear. But you know what? We need to recognize that all of us have it. In our text tonight, there were two things that Paul had to forget. And then there were some things that Paul needed to do in order to move forward for the glory of God. First of all, Paul had to forget the past sins that he had committed against others, or the guilt would defeat him. Now, someone has once said, and I believe it's very true, the best defense is a strong offense. And the best way for us to keep our past in the past is by moving forward and committing ourselves to the things of God. Now, you might be able to say tonight, oh, preacher, you don't understand. I have forgotten. No, many times you've not forgotten. You may have suppressed the thought for now, but to say that it is forever forgotten is difficult at best. Why? Because the human mind has not been programmed to forget. God made it to remember. Forgetting those things, Paul says, is an ongoing process. Paul does not say, I have forgotten those things which are behind. Instead, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. I am constantly in the process of forgetting those things which are behind. Why? Because I did some pretty wicked things in the past. And they're back there. And the devil loves to use them in the present to discourage and defeat me from going forward for the glory of God. The more time you spend thinking upon what you should be doing, the less time you will have to think about what you have done. No matter what it is, God has something for every one of us to do for His glory. We cannot do it as long as the past is being dwelt upon. We cannot go forward as God intended as long as that past is haunting us in the present. I want you to write this down. You cannot change the past, but the past can change you. We observe communion, and when we observe it, we oftentimes say, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. We need to forget what you've done to the Lord, and you need to remember what the Lord has done for you. It is His death, His burial, and His resurrection that has served to put the past forever in the past. It will never be remembered by Him. It will never be thrown in your face again. It will never be intentionally used against you. And we as God's children need to use the same practice in our own lives. For me, the problem is I remember the things I should forget, and I forget the things that I should remember. Several weeks ago, we were going out of the house, and we'd gotten halfway down the road, and I was with the girls, and I said, uh-oh. They said, what? I said, I think I forgot to put on deodorant. And I think it was Beth, or one of the girls in the back, said, well, we'll get the answer to that question before too much longer. Now, I know none of you would ever have that problem. I'm sure you always remember to do things in a sequential way to where you wouldn't forget. If you interrupt my sequential way, I'm gone. I'm like, what did I forget? Was it jail? What did I do? And so, listen, I have a tendency to remember the things I should forget and forget the things I should remember. But imagine being Paul and becoming the exact same person that you once killed. Imagine being Paul in prison and imprisoning others, thinking that you were doing God a favor. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Notice with me, please, in Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, were talking about Stephen, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, Thank you, brother, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul, consenting unto the death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church, was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. This same Paul, who was Saul, was guilty of killing, persecuting, imprisoning, and bringing great harm and pain on the church. And as Paul looked back at that past, the things that he had done to hurt those who were now his brethren, he had to put it behind him. Because if he didn't, the guilt that he would have had to live with would have prevented him from ever, ever accomplishing what God wanted to do with his life. Now, I don't know about you tonight. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. And I don't really care. But I am going to say this to you tonight, that you are going to have to put that in the past and forget that which is behind. Because the devil is going to use that at every opportunity he gets to discourage and prevent you from moving forward. But forgetting is not easy. It will take a lot of work. And I'm going to give you some pointers on how it can be done tonight by the grace of God. But first of all, I want us to understand that Paul became the exact same person that he once killed by way of Christians. The persecution you inflicted upon others now becomes the past that haunts you in the present. Look over in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Look in verse 20 of the same chapter. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. Concerning zeal, Paul says of himself, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But notice, he was zealous as he persecuted the church. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. In other words, Paul was saying, you heard what I did in the past, how I haled men and women to prison, how I stoned people to death, how I did terrible and wicked things to those who called on the name of the Lord, and how I sought to bring pain and suffering upon the church. And now, the persecutor has become the persecuted, because God had a future for Paul. Paul had no idea what that future was at the time. All he knew is that God intervened in his life and showed him that he had something else for him to do. And God got a hold of his heart and turned his life around. And when God rescued Saul for his glory, changed his name to Paul, he decided to take that same zeal that he used to persecute the church in order to glorify God. You see, he was zealous and eager in persecuting believers in Christ. But he had to first forgive himself and then take the same zeal that he used for sinning against God and use it in serving the Savior. This same offense aided him in the defense of forgetting his past. Why? Because the best defense is a strong offense. The more he committed himself to the Lord and went forward for God's glory, the further the past was behind him. My brethren tonight, maybe the reason why your past is haunting you today is because you're letting it. It's because you've not decided to have an offense and go forward and gain ground and score for the Lord and be determined to please him with all that you do. And any time you try to stagnate, I guarantee you the devil will use that past to haunt you in the present. He does me every opportunity he gets. As the persecutor became the persecuted, the devil would not let him forget his past. Look over in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Notice with me in verse 27. Acts 21, beginning in verse 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." How would you like it at work tomorrow when you go in and you're living for God and glorifying his name, and you're seeking to please him and praise him and be a witness and a testimony for God's glory? One of your coworkers walks up, having talked to the supervisor, trying to indict you for having done something criminal by sharing your faith for Christ, and they were to say, "This is the man. This one right here. This is the lady right here who's decided that she is going to talk about Jesus wherever she goes and give gospel tracts and share her faith and praise the Lord all the time. This is the woman." Verse 29, "For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all the Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurion and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating off Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when they could not know for certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him! Away with him! Get this man out of our sight. We don't want to hear him. We don't want to see him. We don't want to listen to anything he has to say. Away with him." If we would live an offense for the Lord, then we would find that those who hate God and have no desire to hear the things of God will write us off. But when we seem to blend with them so well, like a chameleon does with its environment, we're welcomed by them. We fit right in with them. And then we wonder why we have such a hard time moving forward for the glory of God. Listen, no matter what your past looks like, keep leaving it in the past. God does, so why don't you? The devil will bring your past to the present in order to discourage and defeat your life. He will sometimes use people to remind you of your past. And oftentimes those people will be those who were closest to you. Isn't it sad that those we love the most are oftentimes the ones who bring us the most pain to in life? The ones we love the most are the ones that we seem to hurt the most in life by some of the poor choices and decisions that we make in the present and the pains that our loved ones, our children, our parents have gone through is because we have chosen poor choices in the present and they're forced with living with that past nightmare. Circumstances can also be used to bring our past back. I hate going through storms. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. They play music from rock bands that back in the 70s I used to go watch perform at Hemisphere Tower. It brings back a flood of negative memories. Things that I used to do, places I went, things that I'm ashamed of to even talk about. That music is used to haunt me still to this day. Doctor that I have is a Christian. I was talking with him. He was telling me he was going up to Cleveland next week to join his brother. He's going to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I said, "Oh my." He goes, "What's so funny?" I said, "I don't want to talk about it." You know, sometimes movies that you watch will bring back a bunch of past memories, a flood of past memories into your current mind. Things that you thought were forgotten, but you didn't guard what you decided to put in front of your eyes, and therefore it brought back a flood of memories. Let me say to you tonight something out of love. The TV and the computer has done more to destroy the family than it ever has done to build it. I don't know if I told you this before, but when I was in Bible college, it was a young couple. My wife and I got to know very well. They were about our age. They had two little children, and she had one more in the oven. I went to California to start a church, and he was still there in Bible college. A year later, his wife called, was talking to my wife. She said, "You'll never believe what happened." She said, "What?" She said, "My husband decided to get on the computer in his room, and he locked his office door, and I never knew what went on inside there. And he would come out, go to bed, he'd go back in there, afterward do the same thing." She said, "One day he came out of the computer room and he says, 'I'm leaving tomorrow.'" And She said, what? I said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to San Francisco. I said, San Francisco? For what? He said, I met a guy on the internet and I'm going to be with him. When my wife told me that, I just broke down in tears. You may think it's funny, but it's very, very sad. And that is what the computer is doing to families today. Not only in that extent, I can't tell you how much counseling I have done with couples whose wives have said, I'm sick and tired of my husband looking at pornography on the internet. And then he wants to come and be with me. How can I forget what I saw knowing that he's imagining that's me? And I say to the men, shame on you. You better be careful what you do in the present, because it's soon going to become a past and it will become a memory. Remember that those who decide to surf the internet or the TV soon become a wipeout for Christ. It's inevitable. You cannot change the past, but the past can change you. Before I move on, you must discipline your mind to forget your past by focusing on the present. But Christian, the ones who are here tonight, who are living in the past and becoming complacent in the present, don't let your past success become today's complacency either. Don't become a has-been for God. No, I used to serve God with all my heart. I used to fervently pray. You ever heard that before? I remember I used to fervently pray. I used to eagerly give to the work of God. I used to earnestly study my Bible. I used to purposefully witness for the Lord. And now... well, now I just go through the motions. Well, stop basking in yesterday's successes or victories and learn to walk in the Spirit in the present and in the now, and learn to enjoy Christ in the very moment of your life as you walk in fellowship with Him. Number one, Paul had to forget the sins that he had committed towards others. Number two, Paul had to forget the past sins that others had committed against him, or bitterness would serve to strangle the good fruits from his life. He had to forget the sins that others had committed against him. A very hard thing to do. Our mind doesn't want to forget. Years ago, I had a man in my congregation. He was 55 years old then. I don't know if he's even still alive now. He asked me to come over one time and talk with him because he was struggling with something and had been struggling for a long time. He said, Pastor, I need to share with you something. And his wife was sitting across the room. I don't know if she put him up to it. I don't know the whole scenario going on. He says, but I need to talk with you about something. I said, okay, go ahead. And I had noticed before that he would sometimes just zone out in the middle of a church service. He would just like be gone somewhere. I didn't know where he was going, you know, like most of us do. And we just kind of zone off somewhere, like, what am I going to eat later on? What do I got to do when I get home? You know, we just kind of zone out. Well, he would zone out frequently, you know, just be gone. And so I said, what is it, brother? I said, well, he said, you know, preacher, he said, I got to share something with you. I said, okay. He said, when I was 10 years old, he said, I had two uncles who regularly, for the space of 3 years, molested me. He said, I've forgiven them, but I can't forget what I'm going through. He said, I've forgiven them, but there are times I relive the moment in my head. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get over it. We talked for a while, and then his wife, sweet lady, but sometimes didn't think before she spoke, like many of us. She said, I just keep telling him, you've just got to put it behind you. And you got to forget about it, and you got to just go forward. I said, ma'am, sister, I said, I know you love your husband and you're trying to help him. I said, but what you just said is not a help at all. I said, because I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever been raped? She said, no. I said, have you ever had anyone molest you before? She said, no. I said, so you really don't know what he went through, do you? I said, now, you can sympathize for him, you can empathize with him, you can have compassion, and you can try to help him, but sometimes you need to recognize that forgetting is not so easy, especially when it happens to you as a child. And he's had to live with it for 35, 40 years now. There's often real strength, though, in affliction, strange as it may sound. Some of the happiest persons I know are those who have been deeply afflicted and yet have been able to find the grace of God to overcome those things. Paul, in the midst of all his infirmities and reproaches, had a joy above that which all the wealth and honor of the world could not give. Pure Christianity not only supports, but it also comforts. It not only enables one to bear suffering with resignation, but it enables one to rejoice. The pleasures of this world have no power even to support or comfort in times of affliction. But Christianity, through the Holy Spirit, furnishes positive pleasure in the midst of trials and enables the sufferer to smile through his tears. There was a lady in our church, her children, her relatives, everybody told her, you just need to move on. Sweet lady, totally dependent upon her husband. Her husband was a retired military man. He got cancer and he wound up dying of the cancer. She watched him die for 2 years and literally died with him. And for the time that I ministered to her, the entire time, she could not get over it and move on. And everyone kept telling her, you've got to move on with your life. You've got to get over it. You've got to be able to go forward. And she said, outside of the Lord, he was my everything. And I don't know if I can, but I'm trying. You see, it's so easy to tell someone else to forget, isn't it? But try doing it yourself. It's a totally different story. He who once persecuted Christ became persecuted for Christ. With all of his offenses or sins against Christ, Paul recognized, who am I not to forgive and forget those who have trespassed against me? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 real quickly, please. Don't worry, we're winding down. Matthew chapter 6. Notice with me verses 12 through 15. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The way that you, hear me tonight, forgive others becomes the standard by which God and others are to forgive you. Now think about it with me. This is not a matter of heaven or hell. For that sin, my brethren, was nailed to the cross of Christ the moment we trusted him. This is a matter of your standing before God and man. If you decide that you are going to harbor and hold on to and not even attempt or desire to forgive and forget, and yet you want to go to God and say, God, forgive me. And God says, time out. You're my child. You profess to know me. You know what my word says, and you know what I expect. Don't come to me asking forgiveness and trying to put your gift at the altar when you've got an ought or an offense or something against somebody else. You better go and get it right, and then you can come and see me. Now, in closing, how can I keep on forgetting that which is behind when the past weighs me down in the present? 4 points, real quickly. Point number one, pressing forward toward God's goal for you will help you leave the past behind. Remember I told you the best defense is a strong offense? Look back in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am pressing forward. I do not have time for the sins and the weights that so easily beset me to be a hindrance in my life in the present. I have got to let go of those things so I can move forward. Therefore, my strong offense will be my defense. So pressing forward for God and towards the goal that He has for your life will help you leave it behind. Now here's the problem. Some of us don't have any goals. There is nothing before you you're reaching for. There's no sought or seeking for a level of attainment. You are not desiring to get closer to God. You've contented yourself where you are with God. There's not a sweet hour of prayer. There's a tender moment. There's no devout, committed study. And in the Bible doesn't say read to show yourself approved unto God. It says study to show thyself approved unto God. And we don't want to give the time to study the Scripture because our lives are just too busy. And then you wonder why you're so weighed down. You can't do anything for God. And why the past is right on your shoulder saying, come back, come back. Number two, praying fervently to Christ will enable you to keep your past behind. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Lord has a hold on me, and now I'm following after Him. And I'm fervently praying because I cannot get enough of Him in my life. I wish you'd say the same thing about your TV or your computer or the movies you have to go to and watch. Why don't you say, I've had enough of that so I can have more of Jesus? That's the only thing that's going to help us to forget what's been behind us and leave it there, is the closer we get to Him. So pressing forward toward God. Secondly, praying fervently to Christ. Thirdly, persistent Bible study keeps Christ before us and the past behind us. In 3:13, He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. It lies ahead of me. I got to have more of the Lord. I got to have a closer relationship with Him. So I'm pressing forward. I'm praying fervently. I'm persistently studying my Bible. And then lastly, I'm purposing to remember only what Christ did for me and not what I did to Him. Oh, I did some bad things to Him. I did some terrible things to Him. I'm still doing some things that I regret that I've done to Him. But I've got to constantly put that behind me and say, Lord, Thank you for the precious blood that was shed for those sins. My past, my present, and my future are under the blood. And because of the work of Jesus and the righteousness of Christ in me, it is Him and only Him that is enabling me to stand today. And I don't want to remember what I've done, because what I've done will drag me down. I want to remember what He did for me. And that's why Paul says, I count it all loss, that I might be found. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let's bring it back home. Forgetting is not an easy task. Your mind is not programmed to forget. It's programmed to remember. And the only way we're ever going to be able to forget those things which are behind is if we press forward, pray fervently, persistently study the Bible, and purpose to remember what Jesus did for us and not what we did to Jesus. The mind is programmed to remember, in that there is not a mental file in your mind anywhere that is labeled things to forget, off limits. It's not there. You won't find it. But you will find a lot of other files that are there. And you choose whether you're going to access it or whether you're going to block it off. And say, yeah, it's there, but I can't let it come back in the present. It's got to stay in the past. Forgetting requires mental discipline that the Holy Spirit will enable you to do when you walk in the Spirit. Keep on forgetting and keep on pressing on for Christ. I close with this. Please, I beg you, by the grace of God, let go of it, would you? Just let go of it. Put it behind you. It's only preventing you from going forward and reaching your full potential for Christ. Paul is not such a unique individual to the point that you could not be another Paul by way of your relationship with the Lord, and even closer if you chose it. My brethren, remember, the devil wants to use your past to hinder you in the present. Purpose in your heart that the best defense against that will be a strong offense for the Lord by doing those things that we talked about tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and love. We thank you for your tender mercy, your compassion, and your understanding. We all have skeleton in our closets, and we all have dirty laundry. But Lord, you don't use it again.